This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in Grant and Danny on the Fan, and abbreviated G&D today. Only 90 minutes for you, having just seen the Nationals play the Cubs over at Nats Park on a gorgeous but a very, very hot day. Danny, your boy, just waddled back down Half Street here to do post game. Worked up a little lather over at Nats Park.
I believe it, my friend. It's a weird day down here at the ocean, down at the beach. Not terribly hot. I got around a mini golf in after spending my morning with the family there on the beach, and I'm locked in, ready to roll with you, my friend.
Well, I'm excited not only to be talking to Danny right here off the top, kicking off the 5 o'clock hour, but also because we have a guest in studio. Now, Danny, because you are at the beach, you cannot shake the hand of Reggie Barlow, but the head coach of the XFL team coming back to D.C. is in studio with us right now. We really appreciate a couple of minutes. Thank you for coming in, Coach. How are you?
Going outstanding. Thank you guys for having me on.
So I got to start with your first pitch. You were over at Nats Park today. Right. I did not get to see the first pitch. So you could tell me it was 93 on the black if you want to.
Right.
How did it go?
Well, I thought it went well. Obviously, I've been thinking about it for a few days. I haven't thrown a baseball in a long time. I did have a little practice leading up to it just so I can get a feel for throwing the ball again. But it made it over the plate. It was a little high, but we'll take it.
I think high is the best that can happen, Danny,
yeah, that's
right?
The key to it. Yep. Yeah, the only thing you don't want to be, Coach, obviously wide, you know, if like you're throwing one into the first base, that's a problem. But low, and the short hop, the bounce, and everyone kind of groans. If you're up, that's catchable. I think that plays.
Right. I totally agree, and that was the one thing. I didn't want to make these clips that you've seen of, like, the worst first pitch throws ever.
50 Cent's got one.
Oh,
I know.
My God.
I mean,
you don't want to go viral.
Yeah. I don't know how he even comes out in public after that. I'd hang it up.
It was pretty bad.
Sounds like a success story then overall.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was excited to have the opportunity. Of course, I love baseball, so a chance to take in a game and to be in that stadium, that arena, and being able to throw out the first pitch was special.
Speaking of special, you played in the NFL, Jags, Raiders, Bucks. You get to win a Super Bowl, and you transition into being a coach, and you've had success on the sidelines as well, Alabama State, Virginia State, among other stops. How did it come about that you were going to be a head coach in the XFL? What a great opportunity.
Yeah, it is a great opportunity, and I'm just blessed to be a part of the other seven coaches that they have that's part of the XFL. Obviously, there's some former players. There's Wade Phillips, some guys that have been around the game a long time, and I think what happened was an article by Scott Pioli, who does a lot for the NFL Network and some other stuff. He had mentioned minorities that may perhaps deserve an opportunity to get looked at as coordinators or a head coach. So I think someone saw that, and the conversation kind of started from there, and just was happy to be able to engage and have those conversations so they could see who I am and who I was as a coach. And then, obviously, I can get a chance to find out about the XFL and all what it'll be standing for this next go-round.
So I'm fascinated by that, Coach. Who did you interview with then? I mean, it's as these teams and rosters are still getting formed, who were you talking to about being a head coach in this league?
Well, we talked with the executives. I think, obviously, the leaders here with Dwayne Johnson and Ms. Garcia. I did have an opportunity to speak with her. We did talk with Doug and Mark, who's also a part of the league. So just having those organic conversations with those guys, and one thing went from another one, and then, the opportunity was here.
So The Rock didn't give you the people's elbow yet? You haven't met him?
We have. We've met him on many occasions now. Tell you what, he has spread it himself, not just for us to meet, but we had these showcases that went from Hawaii to Mississippi to Brayton, Florida, to Arizona. And he, obviously, with his schedule, he does a lot, but he was able to make a lot of those, and he was able to speak to all the young men who were trying out. So, you know, just awesome energy, awesome guy. And obviously, we know what this league means to him, so I'm proud to be a part of it.
I'm so excited he's involved because it seems like everything he touches turns to gold.
Right.
And I'm not betting against Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I'm an XFL guy. I was XFL 1.0. I was all into as a kid. I thought it was great. The second iteration, I got to call the play-by-play here for the D.C. team and was at every one of the home games and watched every road game. And it really was a blast, and I'm rooting like heck for this thing to work. I mean, what are some of the areas and the things that you're excited about maybe where you guys have had not only that first crack, which I don't think even relates, but an opportunity a couple years ago with some different decision-makers and different things going on. You take some of the best of that, see what worked, take some things that didn't, throw them out, and do something new. Third time could be the charm here.
Yeah, I agree. And like you mentioned, I mean, I think the last time, I mean, it was heading in the right direction, right? Nobody could have predicted it was going to be a pandemic, which caused it to stop. But you mentioned, you know, our leaders, or I mentioned our leaders, the guys who, The Rock and Ms. Garcia, I mean, everything starts with them. It's like when you go to take a job, you want to know what's the leadership about. And I think the new ideas, the people who they have who've worked in the NFL that's a part of this league, the coaching staff that they've elected as head coaches, and then some of the assistant coaches that we've been able to bring on. So I think that'll be a difference. I mean, there's a lot of years of NFL experience with all the coaches and the guys that'll be a part of it. So new ideas, right? And just new energy.
Where are we now in the process, Coach? Just in terms of you know, getting schedules, rosters, tryouts, you know, forming everything. Just walk me through kind of where you're at now and what's next.
All right. So we talked about the combines, the showcases, as we call them. We've had a lot of those. As you know, there's the NFL, and they'll be cutting down players, right? So our roster over time will come between the guys that we saw at the showcases, guys that are, you know, perhaps trying out for the NFL that won't make it. But right now, we're, you know, we have assistant coach, we have director player personnel, we have our director of team operations, so those people are in place. Assistant coaches will be coming on here in the near future. We're evaluating talent as we speak, the people who are on staff, and we want to, you know, find a way to build out a good roster.
The head coach of XFL in D.C., Reggie Barlow. Now, I have to keep stopping myself and not say the D.C. Defenders because I don't know if that's the team name yet.
Don't do it.
Do we know? Are they going to be the Defenders? Is that up in the air? Do we have a name?
Yeah, I think a name probably will be coming soon, but I can't say, hey, that's what it's going to be. So, but I'm looking forward to hearing what the name is. I think everybody's excited about it. And whatever it is, I know the fans here, the way that they've embraced, you know, the D.C. team here, that they'll be excited about whatever name it is.
Speaking of that, I'm curious how much you know about just how engaged people were a few years ago. In the attendance, I think St. Louis may have topped D.C. They had sold like 40-some thousand seats to a game that wasn't able to be played because of the pandemic at the Edward Jones Dome right before the league shut down, unfortunately. But in D.C., we were drawing 15,000-plus.
Right.
And it was an engaged, fun group. I mean, it was a young collection of people. They'd go out and they'd pregame at the sports bars all around town.
Right on.
And then they'd Uber over to the stadium, and the beer snake was huge and made its way on TV. How much digging into just the fan base and how quickly it grew have you done?
Yeah, once we, you know, talked about the different teams and the different areas where the team would be, you know, you kind of have in your head like, I wouldn't mind being there. And then the beer snake and seeing that stadium and how intimate it is. And you know, like we mentioned earlier, I mean, you could have 70,000 there or 40,000, but if they're not into the game and it ain't coming with that energy and passion, then it's not anything. So for this group, our group, whether it's 15,000, 18,000, 20,000, they're going to bring great energy. They're going to be into the game, and the players feed off of that.
Coach, what do you run? You caught some passes in this league or in the NFL at a high level. I imagine you probably favor, you know, slinging the ball around a little bit. Are you going five wide, the oop-de-oop? what kind of stuff are you going to do?
I mean, I have enough sense to know that championships, and you guys don't have to look far here, the years when the Washington team was winning the Super Bowls, they were running the ball, and they were, you know, running with power and all that stuff. So we'll be creative. Obviously, college football has migrated over into the NFL with some of the spread offense stuff. So we'll definitely be able to do that, want to do some of that. I think we can still get away with some of the quarterback runs, but you have to control the hit count on the quarterback. And then, of course, our defensive coordinator would be Greg Williams. I mean, he's been a defensive coordinator here at Washington before, so I think everybody knows what type of brand of football he brings.
That's Greg with two G's. We are well aware of the Greg Williams exploits. He is a character. And in this town, Greg Williams has a lot of fans. Have you hired an offensive coordinator? I haven't heard the name. Is that out there?
Yeah, his name is Fred Kice. So okay. Fred Kice is a guy that worked with us when we were at Alabama State.
Gotcha.
And just a unique fact on him outside of being a really smart guy. One, he's a plumber, right? So if we find ourselves in some crap, he can get it out. Two, he's an ordained minister.
What a line.
Wow.
Right? So if we need some prayer,
he'll help you there too.
Or if he needs some prayer, he's going to have to pray for himself. And then the other thing is he's an outstanding offensive play caller. So we're excited about Fred Kice and looking forward to him being a part of it.
Well, Greg Williams, I mean, that's a name. This is a guy that's been interim head coach in the league, and he was all over the place as a coordinator. Obviously, there's some huge name coaches with yourself and Super Bowl champion. You got Wade Phillips, who you mentioned, and Jim Haslett's been an NFL head coach. Bob Stoops was a college coaching star. Hines Ward is a player. Rod Woodson, Hall of Fame type player. There's some star power here. How did the Greg connection come about? I mean, is that something where they said, hey, here's your DC, or do you interview him? How does that go?
Yeah, they didn't do it like that. We were allowed to go out and you know, get the guys that we wanted. And just from playing in the NFL, I know when I was with the Jaguars, we played the Titans like three times, and we only lost three games that year, and all three was to –
That 13-3 Titans team, right, that McNair, Eddie George team.
Well, the Jaguars, we were the team. But we lost our games to the Titans. Obviously, Greg was there then. He and I have a common friend, and Eddie Robinson, that played for the Titans back in the day, just through conversation, meeting over the years, having conversations. And then once this came about, we had an opportunity to visit with each other a few times, have some phone conversations. And, I mean, you want somebody with that type of experience to be able to run your defense. You know what he brings to the table.
He does bring an awful lot, including some colorful language. Would an ordained minister, will some of those meetings get a little hairy?
How about that juxtaposition, Danny?
Right? I'm thinking about the contrast there.
Yeah, I can only think about once we get to practicing and, you know, we're going O and D versus each other. But you're still talking about two good guys. Greg is an extremely sharp, smart guy, detail-oriented. Coach Kice is the same way. So we're looking forward to it. I'm excited about these guys being a part of it. They're looking forward to it. And we just can't wait to get started.
Reggie Barlow, head coach XFL here in D.C., joining us on Grant and Danny Live in studio on 106.7 The Fan. So one thing I'm really curious about, help me out here. You guys are going to train, practice, do everything on site, and I believe all of the teams are at one or two sites in Texas.
Right.
Well, and then you're going to come here for games.
Right.
But you won't be here during the week, kind of like building up, you know, the I guess the two questions will be, one, who's here kind of building the fan base a little bit?
Well, that's where Danny and Grant comes in.
Okay. Well, right? I like that.
We don't have to be here, right? I mean, we still can video chat.
That's
true.
We can
do Zoom. We could. So, yeah, Jeff here, obviously, you know, is in charge of making sure that type of information still gets out, that we still can engage our fans, you know, from where we are. And then once we get over here, and I'm sure there will be times where we could make it over here, like prior to the season, to embrace our fans even more and get them excited.
So what would be the travel schedule? So you'll practice all week, and then for a Saturday game, would you fly like on a Friday? How does that work?
Well, I would, just from a logistics standpoint, if I had to do it that way, that's probably how it would happen. But I think right now we haven't got that far down. We're still, maybe the league has all of that information, but they just haven't told us how it'll be happening. So, but I'm sure, I mean, with the structure and with the organization that the XFL has had so far, I'm sure it'll be done the right way.
Will you guys be, is it all in Dallas, Fort Worth, or where specifically are you guys going to be? Arlington, Texas.
The Arlington area. Right?
All right, well, tell the Cowboys fans we said bad luck.
Right. You know, there's a lot of,
let Coach Williams use his language there.
Yes,
yeah.
Call, not the ordained minister. We need Coach Williams involved when you talk to him.
Right. Well, you know, I definitely understand Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, what goes, well, not the Redskins, but the Washington Commanders, what goes with that. So, hey, you get a chance to prove it on the field this year.
Coach, this is something that I've wondered a lot about when it comes to a league that's not the NFL. Ultimately, as a developer of talent, I'd imagine it would be awesome to have one of your guys thrive and then make the league as you were able to and play, you know, for so many years successfully. But that's also kind of something that might hurt the league where you're at. I'd love for you to speak to that a little bit. As a guy that's going to be a leader of men, you almost want them to succeed to the point that they're no longer in your charge. I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, these young men, I mean, what we want to do is build a whole person, first of all. We want these guys to understand, hey, beyond football, but for the guys that get an opportunity to go play in the NFL, hey, we want that. I mean, that's what they're coming there for, coming to develop. And the thing about it is there is no shortage of football players, good football players. As you see, each NFL team will probably cut or release 15 to 25 guys before camp starts. So there will always be a number of players that you can still put on your roster, on your team. And it's real similar to college. I mean, you know, every year you lose seniors, but there's always another group of guys that's coming. There, you may lose guys to the NFL, and then there's another group of guys that's coming. So I don't think there will ever be a shortage on players. Kudos for anybody that get an opportunity to go and make it from our league. All right, that would be encouraging. But encouraging and motivating for the guys that are behind them. So it's not, I don't think it'll ever be a shortage on players.
Well, and I would say this too. I think what, you know, I really hope for with these leagues is it's an opportunity also for people like you to get a chance on the sideline to show what you can do.
Right.
I see Pep Hamilton, who was the head coach of the Defenders here in DC, who would go on to coach quarterbacks with the Chargers, working with Justin Herbert, making him into a really talented young player. He's now calling plays in the OC in Houston with the Texans.
Right.
And who knows? Without the XFL, maybe the cream rises to the top and he gets that opportunity as it is. He'd obviously worked previously at Michigan and was heavily involved with the Browns. But I just think that it's a great chance for guys like you and Hines and some of these players who, you know, played in the league. Now you have a chance. Maybe you could be a quarterback's coach, OC. We'll see you as a head coach down the road.
Right.
A really neat thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you. And if you have heard anything that Ms. Garcia has talked about, I mean, this is a league of opportunity, right? I mean, a lot of the young men that'll be a part of it, they didn't get the opportunity to go play in the NFL. Many of the coaches, football operation people, director player personnel, a lot of these people are extremely talented, but they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do what they're doing on this professional level. And now they are getting a chance to show what they can do and what we can do, and hopefully good things will come from it.
What's the hardest part about kind of getting everybody together and getting everyone on the same page? It seems like it's got to be done very, very quickly if you want to compete at a high level here.
Well, I kind of look at it as that's the fun part. I think I'm motivated by being a connector and grabbing the right type of people that you want to be a part of your program, grabbing the right coaches, the guys that's going to care. Obviously, you want knowledgeable guys, but I love that part of the grind, and that's connecting the team and understanding that it is a process. You know, as I mentioned, we do have our coordinators right now. We have our director of player personnel. We have our team operation. So just connecting those people and forming those good relationships, and then as we continue to go, we'll be connecting other people to be part of what we got going on.
Being in Jacksonville in their infancy, too. I mean, they were just really launching in the second year, I think,
right,
of the Jaguars was your first year. I would imagine would be a beneficial experience of seeing what it was like to try to build something.
Right.
Obviously, at a different scale in the NFL. Yeah.
Well, and that's a great point you make. I've been blessed to be in situations that might have seemed like it would be adversity or kind of hard to overcome. But in Jacksonville that year in 96, we went to the AFC Championship game. And it was based on being disciplined, having the right attitude, willing to sacrifice for your teammates, making sure that your habits are aligned with your expectations. And then more importantly, caring about each other. And Coughlin was a connector. He did it his way now, and everybody didn't agree with it, but he was an outstanding coach. He is an outstanding coach, and he made sure that he held everybody accountable. And I think everybody had an appreciation for that. I think, obviously, like you mentioned, with us having to practice over in Arlington but playing over here, I mean, I'm coming from a small college that didn't have the budget to do some of the things. So adjustments was always having to be made. So I kind of understand that. And we won't allow that clutter to be an issue, right? We'll be better from that and not bitter. So it's just understanding it. And the stuff that we've experienced, we've kind of gone through it.
Reggie Barlow, head coach, XFL in D.C. By the way, Danny, he was on Coughlin time today. He was 15 minutes early for the interview.
Right. I was going to ask you, what's on time? Yeah.
So right. Tom Coughlin would have said, I think you were 3 minutes early because you were 15 minutes early.
Yeah, he was, that's definitely what he would have said. I got fined one time from Tom Coughlin for wearing a shirt that he didn't like.
Really? What was on the shirt?
It was so we had to wear a collared shirt when we got on the road. Like once we checked in the hotel, you had to wear a collared shirt with, you can wear khakis or shorts, but you couldn't have jeans. And I mean, I had on a collared shirt, but when we got back, he was like, I didn't like the shirt. It looked like he was going to a picnic. So there it goes.
So based on preferentially that he didn't like what the shirt looked like, you got fined.
I got fined.
And that was just okay with everybody.
I was okay with it. I mean, I tell you, like, honestly, the coach was a connector, and, I mean, he did it his own way.
He was a connector
way.
From your wallet to that bucket of fine
He connected
money.
The fine to his right. person.
Well, yeah. I wasn't the only one he was connecting fines for. But
as a coach, do you have some of those policies? Like, we're wearing jackets on the road, or we're going collars?
Right.
Is that still the way to do it?
Well, I mean, not that extreme, but I will say much of my coaching philosophy has been formed by my college coach, Coach Houston Markham, who was about grit and hard work, right? And I understand that. Tom Coughlin was about attention to the detail, being on time. Everything is a correlation, direct correlation to the next thing, holding people accountable. And then I played for John Gruden, which, you know, the way he presented the message, the way he game planned and all that stuff. So we've tried to form who we are as a coach from those guys.
Danny, Coach Gruden would probably have to tell Coach Reggie Barlow here how proud he is of him, right?
Probably not.
Let me tell you something there, man. I'm going to find Coach Barlow. No, right? He's 15 minutes early. He's late in my book, man. I'll tell you something.
There you go. You got him down pat, man. Spider 2Y Banana. Let me hear you say it.
Hey, Spider. Let me hear you. Use your clear goddamn voice, Spider 2Y Banana, man.
You like football or what?
Get out of my huddle.
Give him a knock on wood if you're with him, I guess.
Knock on wood if you're with me, Barlow.
You hear, don't you?
Well, but so is that was pre-Hard Knocks? I thought that was just a Raiders John Gruden.
Oh, no. This was in Tampa. This was when I was with the Raiders with him. It's give a few knocks if you're with me.
That was my favorite thing from Hard Knocks.
And well, I stole that. I do it with little kids.
You do it?
I've been doing it since I've been a coach.
Oh,
head
see,
coach.
Now this is what we need. We need a Hard Knock style show on the XFL DC team.
Seriously?
So we could see Coach, little knock on wood, if you're with me.
Yeah, you know, I'll do it. I think you want to see Greg, though, more than you want to see me.
Well, I'm not turning down anything. Greg Williams, when he was on Hard Knocks, made this quote. You put your testicles in the sea gap. That's what Greg Williams said the last time he was on Hard Knocks.
I'm sure the guy got it done, though.
Yeah. Oh, you know he did. Coach, we appreciate you hopping in with us. It's a lot of fun to have the XFL coming back to the nation's capital, and people are really fired up.
Let's go.
Let's
so
do
excited
this thing.
About it.
Reggie Barlow will
Thanks,
pass
Coach.
Along the intel
Thanks.
As we get it. Hopefully a name here real soon. Grant and Danny coming back on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Linnell. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll tell you in just a little bit why LeBron James is having a better day than everybody else is. But it was really cool to have the new head coach of DC's XFL team, Reggie Barlow, in studio after he threw out the first pitch. Now, I didn't want to bring this up on air while he was here, Danny, but he did tell me he threw from in front of the mound, which you and I have talked about this. You got to throw from the mound if you ever get to throw out a first pitch. Now, he did say that the reason he did that was he didn't want to mess up the mound. That's kind of him. And as a former athlete, I certainly understand that if he's getting ready to return a kick in a Super Bowl, which he did for the Bucs in a Super Bowl win, he probably doesn't want anybody out there walking around, you know, messing with any of his equipment. But you get one shot at this thing. When you throw out a first pitch,
yeah,
just so we're all on the same page, you climb up that dirt and you go from the rubber.
It's one of those things, I don't know, I can't explain exactly why you have to do it, but you just have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if he was wearing like cleats or it was very muddy and he was worried about like the pitcher's landing spot or something like that, I get that. But you're just wearing regular sneakers. You're just a dude. You got to stand on the bump because you're in a big league stadium standing on a major league mound. Not many people get to do that. You got to be the one to do that. And let my guy Jerome go, Coach Barlow, it's your pitch. And right. Then you throw it over the dish.
Well, it sounds
that's
like
what you do.
He threw a good pitch. So one way or the other, you got to admit, that's the most important thing. Don't end up on YouTube having thrown one of the more embarrassing pitches of the season and didn't do that. I'm excited. Obviously, I had a front row seat last year to all the action, or a couple years ago, the XFL, when I got to call the games with Logan Paulson. So my memories of it are pretty fond. It was the most fun I think I've ever had calling those games. Having said that, though, I'm not overstating this, Danny. There was an energy and a palpable buzz on game day specifically. I don't know that it was a week-long thing in D.C. by any means, but when you were down in this neighborhood, which has even grown even more and has more restaurants and more bars, you know, Walters was packed, and the bars and the restaurants around the Audi Field area were buzzing. They were getting 15,000. It was a really kind of young, college-y, young adult-type crowd where people were enjoying themselves all day long, day drinking, and then going back to restaurants and bars afterwards. But it was loud. It was energetic. It was a fun place to be, and it's really, really cool. It's evidence that we did a good job as a city supporting this team, that you get one back when they were choosing where they were going to put these new teams.
A lot of major markets did not get teams back. We talked about that, New York and L.A. and Tampa. So it's a testament to D.C. and the fandom. The people that I'm happy for with this are, A, obviously, you know, you and folks that were fans of it, and you hopefully getting to call the games again. But you mentioned it, like Walters, my buddy Jeremy, who runs the Salt Line on the other side of the stadium, and all the really cool places that are down here. They got, you know, really jacked up because of the pandemic, and it's been really hard for everybody to sort of tread water and survive. And now the Nationals are, you know, getting you know, getting themselves sandblasted here, two out of three or three out of every four games.
They know where you're going with
that. Over the
course
of 6-7 months.
They're getting themselves where exactly? Where are they going exactly?
Yeah, where are they going? What's going to happen? I was trying to figure out a way to say second place and no one's going. But, like, I want these bars and restaurants down here that invested in you know, building up this really cool part of town to get some rewards. So, yeah, that's a cool thing, you know, is for one of those game days right before the Beer Snake, you have a pint and a pop at Walter's or, you know, the Kraken Tower at the Salt Line, or you go to Due South or any of the other dozen or so places that are down here that are awesome, and, you know, strolling over to Addy Field, which is a great venue, by the way. So, I mean, to me,
well, it's perfect for
the
XFL,
really do hope.
Too.
Yeah.
He mentioned this, but the size of that stadium, honestly, you could actually play, if you wanted to, like a Commanders game there. I really believe that. I mean, certainly a preseason game, but it seats close to 20,000. And while there are more than that at some Commanders games with visiting fans, there are almost never more people in burgundy and gold at this point at FedEx Field than that. So if you could actually, like a claw machine, you just pick up all the people wearing the visiting colors and separate them, it would be just a packed stadium of all the people that cared for the Commanders at Audi Field. But it was just a perfect venue. It's very quaint. You're kind of right there. All the seats are really good. Built for soccer, obviously. So that worked. I think, and I was talking with Ryan and Darius about this a little bit. We were just saying this as a coach left. I think that part of why people got into the Defenders so much, with all due respect to the XFL and the Defenders last time around, no one knew what it was, right? No one really had any affinity, obviously, for that team. No one knew what the product was even going to be like. Was the football going to be any good? It turned out to be pretty good. Cardale Jones had some decent games, and as I said, Pep Hamilton's now the offensive coordinator of the Texans. It was good ball. But nobody knew, and they'd already decided they were going to invest time and energy and some money into the product. I think it's basically because people don't want to do that for Dan Snyder. It is largely in D.C., strategic for The Rock to come back here and say, you guys love football in this town. You've always loved football. You can't stand the owner over there. You don't want to give him any money or energy or effort. We got this thing here that you could get behind. And no one is saying it's the same. I'm not telling you that the XFL team is going to beat the Commanders or anything crazy like that. But my point is just, I think what I saw a few years ago was that a lot of the people who have decided, not anymore, Dan, were at that game wearing Defenders gear. And I think that's something that they try to tap into. Maybe that's the idea of DC XFL.
Yeah, rightfully so. Here's who I feel like is your... If there is such a thing, I mean, obviously, you know, it's impossible to pin this down because everybody's got their own story of fandom, right? But I think your sort of run-of-the-mill average Defenders fan was the disaffected, have never seen winning from the Redskins, WFT, Commanders, whatever they're called this week. It's not fun. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to that place that it has nothing around it, where you can't pregame, where you can't hang out with anybody. I'm going to this downtown venue where I can either metro, drive and park pretty easily, get myself to an awesome venue, and, you know, stroll over to Audi Field and have some fun. That's fun, right? And I think that was sort of your typical fan. And then there's millions of others, again, that had their story, just like you're saying, folks that maybe have seen the glory years of the then Redskins, who said, I'm not going back to FedEx, I don't like Dan Snyder, or a million other things. But it seemed like this young, energetic crowd for the most part, right? I mean, what, you know, people my age are not doing beer snakes for the most part, I feel like, you know? I feel like that's like I just finished my paying my frat dues, and I got to make sure that I pound this Miller Lite, you know, before the end of the first quarter.
You got kids, man. I got kids. If I'm bringing them, we're chasing around the mask guy, as my daughter calls it. Like, she wants, who is their Screech and Slapshot? We're finding that guy, and we're hanging out with him for a quarter or two. And then maybe there's a playground nearby. I mean, that's kind of, if you're our age, like how your day at the game goes. But you're right, that wasn't necessarily, I mean, it was a great family venue, and there were a lot of families there. It's cheap. It's super affordable. So you saw a lot of that. But I think that what made it go viral and what made DC separate itself was, like, the young, rowdy, energetic, fun. It wasn't like your prototypical NFL game where people are fighting and angry and cursing and loud. It was really more jovial and just kind of community-oriented. So it was a cool thing, and we'll see if we can run it back and do it as well this time around here in D.C. I mentioned that LeBron James is having a better day than I am and a better day than Danny Ruye is, even though Danny's at the beach continuing his vacation. LeBron James has agreed to a two-year, $97.1 million contract extension that includes a player option for the 24-25 season, according to Rich Paul, is agent at Clutch Sports, the CEO of that company, who's been repping LeBron for a long time. This extension includes a 15% trade kicker, makes James the highest-earning player in NBA history. How about he's now up to $532 million in career-guaranteed money? That's guaranteed, not just all that he's earned, but that surpasses Kevin Durant of the Nets. These guys are going to end up, LeBron's going to be close to a billionaire just from money earned on the floor. That doesn't even take into account. He's well past a billionaire, as we know, based on Forbes and some of these rankings.
Sure.
But I'm talking about just money you earn on the floor. He's going to be owning teams if he wants to.
If he wants to. I think he earned $4 million as a rookie.
Huh.
Now, obviously, that's wonderful money, but $4 million bucks as a rookie. And I think he'll earn 50-something this year. By the way, that player option that you mentioned, that's a huge deal. And the reason it's a huge deal is that might be the timeline where his son might make the NBA.
Ooh.
And I think one of the little dreams is he's able to be on the roster at the same time as his son, kind of a Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. kind of a thing. I think that's sort of the last little finishing touch, little you know, whatever that little chef's kiss meme that people do on an unbelievable career. I think that's something that LeBron wants.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's get into the Commanders next. There is some trouble brewing, perhaps, for Antonio Gibson. Or is Ron Rivera maybe just kind of trying to get in his head and make him play better football? We will discuss next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day. I was over at Nats Park watching the Cubs beat the Nats 3-2. Good to be there to see C.J. Abrams steal a base. That's kind of why I went. Bad to be there to see them lose another baseball game. That's the extent of your Nats news worthwhile so far today. Over at Commanders camp, though, it turns out that Antonio Gibson is getting special teams work. He's now splitting first-team reps in a way maybe that he hadn't been previously. The beat reporters are noticing this more and more, Danny, that after his fumble and the way Brian Robinson played in preseason game one, and we didn't really mince words as a show afterwards. Normally, I think we try to downplay some things from exhibition games, but the point was Robinson was great in college. Gibson was a wide receiver in college. Robinson has, by all accounts, been really good in practice and had a great first game. Gibson had this problem last year that is, at least for now, carried over. This is something that should be talked about. This could be a competition. Sam Fourdier in the Washington Post writing today, for the second day in a row, running back Antonio Gibson's practice reps promoted questions about his status as the Washington Commanders lead back. Today, Gibson, yesterday, I guess, first appeared on special teams as a slot blocking option. Today, he returned punts and kicks in team drills. The backs usually rotate between first, second, and third team. And on both days, Brian Robinson Jr. and J.D. McKissic took a greater share of the reps with the first two. Gibson spent significant time with the third team. So the question becomes, is Ron Rivera sending a message, or is this reality now that he is falling down the depth chart and Robinson might actually have a chance at the RB1 job?
Yeah, a couple notes here. I think Robinson had 600-some touches or so at Alabama without a single fumble. Just something to keep in mind. Obviously not the same college pros, but still a sample that is a data point that's worth noting. Number two, I remember when this happened to Adam Archuleta. You know, it went from what's his role? Is he in this package? He was the personal protector for the punter. That's what he ended up being, despite making an outrageous amount of money. It's not a good sign, I'll tell you that. There's a difference between, hey, man, we're going to let someone else take the first couple reps and you got to earn your way back up kind of a deal. Now you're on special teams. We're going to find something else for you to do. That to me says this is more a depth chart thing than it is a motivational tool thing. Again, maybe I'm reading too much into it. But and the third point, by the way, I'd like to bring up real quick is they don't have returner solved. I think actually that's another indicator, by the way, that they saw the same thing that we all did with how measly their kick returns were in that first preseason game.
Very true. I'm going to put that on the back burner, though, for a moment, because we would be looking at a huge fire and talking about how, like, there's also an ant problem over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Did you see that ant go into that building?
Returning is cute and that's fun. We'll figure that out in time. Oh, my God, Antonio Gibson could be losing his job on August 17th. I mean, that's really my takeaway. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm simply offering this, Danny, to say that this was always kind of a possibility. I mean, a week ago, my bold prediction on offense was that Brian Robinson would lead them in rushing. But even, I thought it was bold because even then, my point was, it's going to take a Gibson injury. He gets injured a lot. Or a few fumbles early in the year. He fumbles a lot. Or ineffectiveness over a bunch of weeks. And it's going to be something like, you know, Robinson ends up starting some games on the back end and goes for 700 yards, and Gibson went for 490 or 500 or whatever. In my wildest dreams, I didn't think we could get here. So the question to drill down on then, and maybe we should open up the phones on this in the MGM National Harbor listener lines, is how legitimate now is this competition? Do we believe this is now wide open? Do we really think that Robinson goes into the final two preseason games, specifically the dress rehearsal against the Chiefs, which they're going to game plan for this week, which is huge? You know he's going to get some work with the first team because they've got to see what he is. Do we think that he's a strong outing or two away from maybe getting the call to run out of the tunnel with the first team offense against the Jags in week one? Or could this just be, and we see coaches do this all the time, could this just be Ron Rivera's way of basically putting him in the doghouse, you know, grounding him for a week? This is the football version of taking away Xbox and TV.
Again, I think this is more than motivational because of the special teams part. If this was just knock you down, do a couple third team reps, earn your way back up to the spot, I would say okay. But there's something about finding something else for you to do so that we make sure that you're still on the team. That's what special teams feels like to me, from a guy that went from 1,000-yard back, the unquestioned starter because there was nobody else better that could handle the pounding, to that. And they drafted a guy in the third round. This is not just some, you know, sort of throw-in. They invested pretty heavily. I think there's some dissatisfaction with Gibson. I think they're frustrated he hasn't come further despite the offseason work.
So let's open up the phones on this next. I want to hear what you guys think. 800-636-1067 is the number, MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067. It's a super short show. We just got on at 5 o'clock. We're done at 6:30 as always. Nats played all day in the time slot. But an opportunity for you before we get out of here to give us your thoughts. You're seeing Gibson have his practice role change. The question is, do you think Robinson's got a real start to be the starter come week one? Does he have a real shot at that? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.